Welcome to Crosstalk News. I'm Edward Zollin. Wait, where is Lauren? She is away. It's just me today and a guest. I've got Clayton Llewellyn from Heaven's Harvest coming on. I've got some good information to share with you today. One of the first ones is there is a solution to this impeding pandemic. I would say an epidemic on the food supply. The pandemic caused strain, caused global supply chains to collapse. It also caused farms, their input to drop to almost nothing, especially in places like Ukraine and Pakistan. Now, the subject we've had a lot of discussion on recently is the supply chain shortages in regard to diesel, meat, other vegetables. There's so many things that are coming in short supply. I'll tell you this, here at Crosstalk, joy will never be in short supply. You're going to see me, I won't be smiling in a weird way when crazy things are happening, but I'll tell you this, the devil will never break my spirit. I'm going to share this with you today. I've got Clayton Llewellyn coming on, and we're also going to discuss the New York Fed's digital dollar. All this and more today on Crosstalk News. Welcome. Good evening. For many of you, you watched President Trump's speech just a couple of days ago now. It still feels empty. You know, I know I'm here alone at the desk, but I don't think I'm alone in my reception of President Trump's announcement. President Trump was never going to be our savior. We got Jesus for that. But he's also not going to be our political solution, it looks like. President Trump is not the same President Trump of 4 years ago. 2016, President Trump was something magical, something special. It was a decision maker, a leader, someone that can lead a nation during great turmoil. We don't have that, but we do have great patriots, Christian brothers like you and I. We are fighting. We are preparing. We're doing everything in our power to stay sane. Well, the first thing this week that kind of shook that sanity, I don't know if you watched in Europe, NATO almost declared war with Russia. Now, this is one of these trite headlines you see everywhere right now, but there was something very serious that happened. We didn't have a chance to report on it because it happened, I believe, on Wednesday in between our episode. But the big part was there was a missile that was shot from Ukraine. Now, we now know this, shot from Ukraine into Poland, killed two Polish citizens in a village. This is the first time since World War II that indirect fire had killed a Pole. Now, Poland is part of NATO. If Poland's attacked, guess what? They can invoke Article 5 of the NATO treaty. Now, this, according to the drama that we now are told after the fact, who knows how much of this part's true, but this caused President Biden to be woken up from his sleep. It was, of course, about 5 p.m. No, okay. It was the middle of the night, but still he got woken up, brought down to the war room, and he was given the decision, sir, do we retaliate? Now, thank God, President Biden and his advisors advised against any serious retaliation. There are reports that the Russians were not picking up the red phone, the direct phone between the United States and Russia in the event of a nuclear conflict. But that's how close it came. It turns out that the Ukrainians fired a Russian-made missile, and it was reportedly a missile used in air defense because the Russians were bombarding 80-plus targets across the country because Russia is actively engaged right now in trying to win this proxy war against Ukraine. But the impact to you and I is our country once again almost sleptwalk into war, into destruction. America doesn't produce everything we need anymore. We import most of the things we need. The people here, though, we do produce, let's say one thing. We have energy and confidence that is unmatched. Among my generation, especially among the dissident right, they will never break our spirits. But the issue we face right now is we seek a leader. It'll be interesting to see which leader emerges from the pack of non-existent leaders. There's for leaders to take the presidency, we have very few. Many of the leaders who want to step up to the plate are corrupted. They're either in bed with Israel or they're in bed with warm blood and the devil himself. We will be deciders, I think, if we're going to participate in the political cycle. I know this, though. I know that I'm not leaving this country. I'm certainly going to fight till the very end. And I've got a certain hope amongst me. And I'll tell you this, the reason why I have that hope is that there are many people starting businesses, many people who are helping others prepare, and certainly the best among us who are preparing Christians specifically for famine. one of those great Christian brothers. It's a pleasure to call him this because he's done so much for us. He's done so much for the Stu Peters Network. He's also done so much for his friends, his family, and patriots at large. I'd give this admonish. He's very good, okay? He's very good. He certainly started a business that has done well in recent years, especially with all the turmoil in the food market, but this was never his wish. His wish, again, was just to help people. Clayton Llewellyn at Heaven's Harvest is my guest, and I'm greeting him in now. Welcome to Crosstalk, Clayton.
Hey, thanks for having me, man.
So, Clayton, you know, the global elite, they have a lot of contempt for you and I, mainly because we'd never been caught dead wearing that ridiculous outfit they sported in Indonesia. Okay, but also because I think it's because we love life and we love Jesus. I think that these guys, they didn't stop conspiring, you know, after the Great Reset book was released. They didn't stop conspiring after the pandemic. They do appear to have a new plan. And that is to shame the entire world into carbon taxes, austerity. And of course, they're already strangling us. What did you think of Klaus Schwab's new meeting, his new globalist confab?
Well, you know, what's funny is like this, these people have always like kind of been quiet behind the scenes. Like, you know, they don't really like to tell us exactly what's going on or what to expect. I mean, we've talked, you know, you've heard people, conspiracy theories for years about this stuff. Now they're on TV. They're telling you exactly what they expect, exactly what's going to happen. The world leaders that you elect are nothing more than a puppet anymore, it seems like. I mean, there's a powerful group of guys that are guiding this country, guiding the world to exactly where they want it to go.
Well, in this direction they're guiding the world, you know, they're obviously not elected. You know, a lot of the leaders that showed up, they're more dictators than they are representative officials,
yeah. Right?
And in the sense of guiding the world, I think that at one point in time, there may have been a generation that was okay with a degree of control that these individuals have, because they at least thought that these individuals must have the best interests of our country at heart. And that's why maybe I'm giving a lot of leeway here. Maybe they were given, some permission from the public to at least represent their nations and their people at these kind of gatherings. But that went out the window with the pandemic. Let's be honest.
Oh, no, you're absolutely right.
They lied to us.
You know, a good friend and I were talking about this yesterday, like the amount of freedoms that we've just continually given up, and with every generation, it's getting worse. You know, I mean, it's one thing after another. You know, they tax our paychecks, and then you turn around, you want to spend that money on food, and that gets taxed. Like 100 years ago, you could never convince anybody they were going to do this stuff. You know, and now we're at the point where we're an extremely wealthy nation, and we've got too much money now. They're going to make us like the rest of the world. They want to see all of us as, I don't know if it wants to be somewhere in a third world country, but I don't think they want powerful nations and weak nations anymore. They're looking for somewhere in between that are real easy to control. You know, we've just shown that with the vaccine. How easy is it to control a population? I mean, we convinced half of us to run out and get a vaccine that's never been tested. We're paying the price for it now. But I mean, it's real easy to control people. Well, I mean, was it Henry Kissinger? You control oil, you can control countries, you control food, you control the people. You know, and it's that kind of leads us to why we're here, is they're back to wanting to control the food, and they're getting real close to it. You know, they've got a lot more influence on food than what we realize they do. I mean, there's four companies that control all the seeds in this country. There's about a dozen companies that control 90% of the food on your grocery store shelf. So, I mean, we've given up the power. It's crazy how far we've let it slide. And again, before, they used to hide behind doors, and not anymore. They're out in the open. They're telling you exactly what they're going to do.
Well, at this meeting, I was paying close attention to the meeting, not just because of the fools they were making themselves look at. For example, Justin Trudeau, the prime minister in Canada, he tried to quote unquote confront the Chinese leader. The Chinese leader, mind you, that controls half of the Canadian economy, right? Yeah, it looked kind of ridiculous, but he came up to him and he's like, "Listen, we are going to try to enforce the human rights violations. This is a big issue for Canada." Funny, by the way, for someone who's led a country that's persecuted Christians in Calgary and Alberta, you know, these provinces where Christians were trying to just hold service on Sunday. Justin Trudeau's administration oversaw
what they did to the trucker
down of the churches.
Yeah. I mean, look what he did with the truckers here a few months back. I mean, it's crazy. They've stripped them of all their rights.
Well, and the truckers, I'm sure you saw this this clip right here on screen. There was a hearing. Their version of the J6 Commission has been going on in Canada. And one of the prosecutors, one of the attorneys for the government, he just passed out like middle of the hearing. And of course, you know, upon inquiry, we found out this man's vaccinated. He's bought the entire Great Reset agenda. You know, he's a man who's a plan truster, at least by the government. He trusts the government's plan. And this has led to him passing out during what would be the biggest day of his career as a government prosecutor. Him getting to prosecute patriots and Christians, men and women who had an issue, obviously enough, that they showed up in Toronto to show the government there that vaccine mandates would not be tolerated. This man was the prosecutor, and he passed out mid-hearing. I mean, Clayton, when it comes to this, we know that much of the world that you and I have grown up in has been disrupted and changed over the last 2 years. I'd say the last two, because it really started in 2020. But for you, watching what we've seen in Canada and also at this globalist confab in Indonesia, does it not more than just bother you? Does it irk you to see that the world leaders are carrying on as if there's been no change to the whole world?
Oh, absolutely. Like and Edward, I'll be honest with you, you guys keep up with the politics more of it than I do. I really keep up with the food side of it. You know, like that's where I really focus in on, you know, and to watch this guy stand there and tell the world leaders to expect disruptions in food and energy. Like, that's a huge deal. Those two things go hand in hand. I mean, like the food, like all the food we grow consumes energy to do that. You know, like it's, if one goes up, you know, the other one's going to follow. You see what's going on with fuel prices. I mean, that's out in the open. We all talk about that. The one thing nobody wants to talk about is what's going on with the food. So
speaking of the food, I was reading the documents that come out of these, because they love to become big authors when they come out of these meetings, Clayton. They like to talk about the things they've agreed upon. One of the things they agreed upon at this meeting in Indonesia was that you and I shouldn't have access to meat anymore. You and I are single-handedly killing the polar bears and the whales.
The FDA just approved a company to 3D print meat. It's coming to the United States. It's just been approved. You're going to start eating 3D printed meat. I shouldn't say 3D, but lab-grown meat. Like, the FDA just approved that yesterday. So, I mean, you already see governments telling farmers, hey, you need to cut down on your farmland by 30%. I mean, your buddy up north is doing that. They're doing it in the Netherlands. Like, it's coming here, you know, so it's the cows in the field are going to be a thing of the past in a few years, you know, and if the vaccine that we choose not to take, that they want you to take. I mean, Australia is trying to put it into the beef right now. Well, can you imagine lab grown beef, what they're going to put in that? Whether you want a vaccine or not, you're getting a vaccine. They're doing the same thing with produce. So it's a scary time we're living in.
Well, you and I both have extensive networks of friends who are not just patriots, but they're Christians, they're believers. They trust God and they fear God. They don't fear man. Have you seen a change in them over the last 6 months? Have they started to try to grow their own food? And, you know, obviously, you run a very successful food preparation company. And of course, I'm a client. I love your food. We actually made some of the mac and cheese and the chili and the butter. We've actually tried all the stuff. It's pretty good. I'll say this is very good. Okay.
They're wholesome meals. They're really good meals. Edward, it scares me how many people aren't ready for this. I mean, they have no idea that they're just blind to what's going on in the world right now. Our food that we get, our survival food, it's getting in really, really hard to source ingredients now. I mean, like companies or farmers where we used to buy 100,000 pounds worth of this from, this year are coming back saying, hey, look, we don't even have 10 pounds to sell you. Like, we're trying to source this stuff right now. The heirloom seed kits we sell, in 10 years, I've never had a problem finding heirloom seeds. We can't find them. Like, the crop this year was just awful. And whether that's partially, well, it is big business controlling the seeds, you know, or just a bad climate, a bad year for it, which nobody stepped in. None of the government stepped in and helped. Nobody lifted restrictions. We were trying to buy cherry tomato seeds the other day. 5 pounds of cherry tomato seeds were $1,000.
What?
$1,000 for pounds of seed. 5 pounds of seed won't last me an hour in the morning. I mean, we package so many seeds and send them out. It's crazy. 5 pounds does absolutely nothing for us, but I can't find any more than that. Like, people don't realize how serious this is going to get in the next 6 months. The food that we're growing right now hasn't hit the shelves yet. The food we just harvested hasn't hit shelves yet. Wait till December, January, February, when all these prices start hitting the grocery store shelves, the scarcity of it starts becoming obvious. I mean, we can talk about oil. Everybody sees the price of fuel and they hear what's going on in Germany. Nobody wants to talk about food. I mean, if we talk about food right now and say, hey, if they came out and said, hey, look, there's not going to be food in 2 months, what would happen to the grocery store shelves? It would be pure panic. I mean, we say there's no toilet paper and everybody makes a joke out of it, but you see what happens. I mean, well, they run
you
out of
paper. They say when crap hits the fan, everyone bears the shelves. They basically go out and buy everything they can. Yeah. We see this in Florida with the hurricanes, of course. So we just had the latest scare. This, we were actually, mind you, we were in the path. They told us, you know, my goodness, you're gonna have to evacuate, Edward. You know, of course we're prepared to a certain degree. So we stayed in place and we prepared, but still all the water was gone within 5 hours of an announcement that a hurricane had formed, or this tropical storm is heading and forming a hurricane. So it does happen very quickly. And but the fuel question has been a big one, right? Obviously we're saying 8 days left of diesel. Have you seen that out in Georgia?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Like, and that's, again, that's a huge deal. You know what I mean? Mom and dad driving to soccer practice in their gas powered car doesn't affect them too much. But what they don't realize is every single thing in their house, their groceries, the furniture, the clothes on their back, like, that's all processed, delivered, manufactured with diesel. Like, this country runs on diesel. I mean, every truck on the interstate running up and down there right now is running off of diesel. You know, with scarcity, it's just going to keep raising the price. So, I mean, come this winter, it's going to get bad. You know, and I wanted to say one more thing about the seeds. At this time, it's so hard to find heirloom vegetable seeds right now. At this time of year is when I start loading up, expecting the spring rush. Mm. And right about now, between now and Christmas, we usually have about 25,000 seed kits packaged up, ready to go. Like, that's where we, you know, for the last 10 years, that's where I want to be at this time of year. Right now, we've got about 1,500, and I can't find vegetable seeds. Like, it's just crazy how bad it is right now, and nobody's talking about this. You know, this isn't
4%. You have 4% of what you usually would have.
Yes. Yep.
So people are not going to be able to buy. I mean, your regular customers are not going to be able to buy seeds for spring.
And there's going to be a huge demand come this spring when people start seeing what they're paying on the grocery store shelves for food. The stuff that's not there, like cherry tomatoes, I honestly don't even know if you'll be able to find them this summer. But once this starts hitting the grocery store shelves and people realize, wow, this may be a little worse than what we anticipated, good luck finding vegetable seeds. Like, it's going to be rough next summer.
Now, Clayton, is it due to hoarding, or is it due to the impact from weather events like the derecho? Remember, we had the derecho last year in the Midwest. They say it knocked out 1/3 of the corn and the soy. What is the primary reason? Is it just a confluence of the very variables we've talked about? The score, the war, the shortages already, and the supply chain constraints? Or what do you think is actually caused? Because you're speaking to the farms, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Edward, it's a perfect storm this year. And like I said, I can't remember exactly how they quoted it, but what did the Democrats say when Obama took office?
Never let a good crisis go to waste. Ron Emanuel, I believe.
Never let a good crisis go to waste. And I honestly believe that's what they're doing right now. The World Economic Forum, the Great Reset, like, this is all playing into their plans. And I believe that this was the perfect storm to kick this off and go full steam ahead. You've got a war in Ukraine. I mean, that's the bread basket of the world. So you've got that going on. You've got all the fertilizer production that's been slashed by 2/3. Half of this world's planet is fed with fertilizer grown crops. Like, we just cut 2/3 of the production. You know, I mean, why? Like, why would we do that? Well, it's fuel prices are too high. Doesn't make any sense to grow it now. We've got rail companies in the United States refusing to deliver 20%. We've got governments telling farmers, hey, because of emissions, you've got to cut your crop by 20 or 30%. You've got Bill Gates buying up all the farmland in the United States. You know, we've got California that's in a 1,200-year drought. There's hunger stones showing up in rivers in the Middle East that haven't been revealed since the time of Christ. So, I mean, it's just a perfect storm. And now instead of the government getting out of the way and stepping up and saying, hey, look, you've got plenty of water over here. Let's grow more over there. Let's get rid of restrictions. It's the same thing they're doing with oil. I mean, there's no reason for diesel to be $5 a gallon. We've got plenty of it here. But they don't want to see that. You know what I mean? They want to see us all driving electric cars. They want to see our population in this world cut down. So what better way to do it? You know what I mean? The same way this population grew, cheap energy and cheap food, easy access to all of that. Well, you know what? Let's make it harder to get to. You know, you look at North Korea, that population is starving to death. Because they're starving to death, they have no desire to fight back, no desire to rise up. All they're worried about is their next meal. And I don't think it'll get that bad here, but I think they're going to start to put the squeeze on us to where they're controlling the food and everything that we have, you know, to the point that we're no longer the greatest country on earth. You know, we're going to be, like I said, we're not going to be the greatest country, and I don't think they're looking for third world. They're looking for somewhere in between. So I think the days of us having it as easy as we have are over. You know, I don't think you're going to have the selections you have at the grocery store shelf. Your beef's going to be lab grown. You know, your fruits and vegetables, they're already trying to grow that stuff in warehouses, you know, where they can completely control what they're giving you. You know what I mean? If it's GMO, if it's got a vaccine in it, like, they're going to make sure you're given what you need. You'll be paying for it with a card. Like, this is going to get bad.
Well, Clayton, I know that, as you said, you don't like to get too much into the politics, but you know, you're a leader, you're a business owner, and of course you pay attention to what's happening in this country. If I had my weathers about it, we'd have a candidate that cared about these issues, and I'd have them. I'd want them to pick someone like you to be Secretary of Agriculture. You know, well, I don't know if you don't hear that. What's that?
I don't even know if the candidate matters anymore.
Oh, sure. I mean, I'm there with you.
telling world leaders what's going to happen. Why is he telling elected officials what to expect? How about if our elected officials tell them what to expect? Like, hey, we're going to start drilling more. You know, we're going to start growing more food. We're going to lift restrictions. But they're not doing that. I mean, they're going a completely opposite direction.
Well, of course, you address the energy there. We need to be drilling more. We need to be setting up other alternatives to energy, also be tapping into our own energy as a country. But in regard to food, all right, is it even a possibility that we could restart food production here? Or are we now, for example, and out of California and other places with the droughts, are we in a situation now where America will always have to now import our food from other places? Hopefully, if a war ends in Ukraine or Pakistan comes out of political turmoil, we can maybe pull in grain and these other things from those countries. But if you were, let's say you were picked to be Secretary of Agriculture, what advice would you give to a candidate, or let's say a leader? Let's say the governor of Georgia came to Clayton Llewellyn and is like, hey, I want to solve this issue. I take this as a serious issue. What should I do as the leader of my state?
I think we need to get back to like the free market again. Get the government out of farming. You know, I mean, there's no reason the government's controlling as much as they do. Like I said, there's a dozen companies controlling all the food production in this world. You know, it's no longer mom and pops. You know, I talked to somebody the other day. We were talking about Australia putting vaccines in cows. And they said, well, that can't happen here. I mean, we've got all these farmers that, you know, are running cattle on their own land. Yeah, no, they're not. Like, go out west. Those cattle are all grazing on BLM land. You know, and if the government says, hey, the only way you're going to graze cattle here is to give them this vaccine, those farmers are going to give those cows vaccine. That's their livelihood. You know, we've got so many foreign entities now that farm this country. I read an article the other day, and I believe it was either New Mexico or Arizona, but Saudi Arabia has bought up thousands and thousands and thousands of farmland. They're tapping into the water sources. It's drying up wells all over the place because the wells aren't regulated like the rivers are. So they come over here, buy all this farmland. They're growing alfalfa to feed their horses in Saudi Arabia. And they're not paying for any water. It's coming right out of the ground. It's robbing water from all the farmers around them. It's robbing water from the houses around them. Like, it's crazy to me. You know, you got Gavin Newsom in California that's more worried about a fish than he is the people. You know, I mean, we've completely cut water to the farms in California to let the Colorado, and I think that's important too. You know what I mean? Like, we got to protect our natural resources, but it, to what cost, to what expense? You know, we just can't turn it off overnight. Like, there's got to be, you know, alternative ways to handle this. And it can't be pushed down your throat like the government tends to do. You know, I mean, and what do you got, 10 years left and you can no longer buy a gas-powered car in California? We're not ready for that yet. Someday we will be. But Elon Musk has told you, hey, we're not ready for this yet. You know, and it cracks me up. Like, here we are, we're trying to go green and trying to go efficient, but yet we're putting together electric cars that will outrun a Ferrari. How efficient is that? I mean, there's nothing efficient about that. I mean, this is just I don't even know what it is, but the direction we're headed, and everybody thinks, you know, these electric cars are great. Like, well, give me an electric car that'll get me from A to B and do 50 or 60 miles an hour and, you know, conserve energy, conserve battery power. I don't need one that does 0 to 60 in 2 seconds and will outrun a Ferrari. So the whole idea of what we're doing is just crazy to me.
They do seem like they want us to go into a suicide pact with them. Destroy the economy, destroy the country of our fathers. I don't think it's going to be easy to convince people like you and I to go along with this without a fight, but certainly does appear that the first step that anybody can take in this is not relying on big government or a politician. We know where we look for salvation, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We don't look to the politicians for that. But I do know this. I'm about to have a conversation with my sister. She's coming into town for Thanksgiving. And guess what? One of the things I'm going to show her is I'm going to show her my Heaven's Harvest palette. All right, I'm going to show her and I'm going to cook some with her. Because my sister, bless her heart, she hasn't prepared. All right, she's a Christian. She's born again. She trusts her Lord and Savior. She doesn't, however, think that she needs to take any action in the event of a global elite having maniacal intentions against her and her family. Clayton, help me out here. What can I tell my sister to convince her? Can you tell her about the mashed potatoes and the chili mac? Because I think the chili mac's how I'm going to sell her on this, okay?
Well, Edward, like I said, we've got good, nutritious food. You know what I mean? We've left all the fillers, all the sugary drink mixes, all the garbage out of it. Like, these are just meals. You know, there's nothing in there that you don't need. There's, like, if you want rice and beans, go to Walmart and buy rice and beans. They're important. You know what I mean? I'm not saying don't do that. They're important. Just, you don't need to pay me to do that. We've got the meals inside these kits that you can mix with the rice and the beans. So we've got an entree bucket that's good for one adult for 1 month. We've got a breakfast bucket that's got nothing but breakfast meals in it. There's a fruit and vegetable bucket that's got your fruits and your vegetables in it. And we've also got a protein bucket, which is probably my favorite. And we've kept the protein bucket separated from the entrees and everything else because they only have a 15-year shelf life. I didn't want to contaminate one bucket with the other. So we've got that bucket. We've got those four main buckets. And then we just added to our site probably 4, 5, 6 months ago, some number 10 cans that have fruits and vegetables, mashed potatoes, butter, drink mixes. And those cans start at $17. I mean, that's affordable for any budget. So there's something in there for everybody. We've got water filtration and storage. You know, a lot of people look past how important it is to have water. We can live for a week to 10 days without food, but you're going to need water within 24 hours. So there's ways on there to filter and store water. Our seed kits are really where we started with this, the heirloom seed kits. I mean, as much survival food as you can possibly buy, at some point it's going to run out. You need to have the seed kits, growing the fresh vegetables and all that, to add to your stock, to your store. Anything you can add to those meals is going to help you prolong it. So the seed kits, they've got 39 different varieties of heirloom seeds. And like I said, that's an endless supply of food. If you harvest that seed, dry it, you can regrow it the next year, and it'll last your lifetime, your kid's lifetime. It's food insurance. You know, we've got insurance for our vehicles. We've got health insurance. We've got house insurance. For $140 in a bucket of heirloom seeds, you now have food insurance. And like a good friend of mine said, it's stomach insurance, because that's the first thing that's going to growl when you know what hits the fan.
Well, it's certainly insurance against the hungry family, too. I think that's going to – this is good. I'm going to share this with my sister. And, of course, the audience, they're already huge fans, and I hope they can. They check out heavensharvest.com. Use promo code Crosstalk. And I'm telling you, the chili mac, Lauren and I, we love the chili. We cannot rave more about the chili. Even though Lauren, when she was cooking it up, she accidentally left the preservative back. I was like, what are you doing, Lauren? You don't know how to cook this chili back. No, she's going to kick me for that one. But I'll tell you this.
Well, I'll tell you what. Have you tried this?
What's that?
Have you tried the stroganoff?
No, I need to try the stroganoff. So Lauren was supposed to make that. She hasn't made that yet. So, but you know, we're gonna make the stroganoff this weekend. All right.
You can take the beef out of the protein bucket and mix it in with that stroganoff. Oh, it's so good. I mean, it's okay. Just delicious.
Well, next time we talk, I'm going to tell you, Clayton. I'm going to tell you how that tasted, okay? Heavensharvest.com. Thank you so much for joining us today, Clayton. God bless you and enjoy Thanksgiving with your family.
Edward, thanks for having me.
Well, you heard Clayton. The seeds are running out. A regular order that he was making on a certain seed, heirloom tomatoes, he's only able to fill 4% of what he filled last year. This is because farms are shutting down. Supply chains are starved. Individuals don't have what they need right now to survive a winter. We know that we got dark winters. We got crazy winters ahead. I think that the Biden administration, a lot of the things they talk about and try to screed across the skies, especially in the news and especially in the radio waves and, of course, online, a lot of it's fear-mongering. But the part that Clayton honed in on is not. We can't just fabricate or print food. Okay, so heavensharvest.com, as you saw there. The other thing that we seem to be fabricating and printing that's going to cause a lot of issues, is our money, all right? And the subject of our money has been at the forefront of at least my mind. I'm watching as billions of dollars have disappeared overnight in this FTX scandal. You got a young man, a philanthropist, who didn't know what the heck he was doing, was in bed with the Ukrainian government, money laundering to the degree that hasn't been seen since Bernie Madoff. But this man was so bold that he even proclaimed to be this example for our generation. He admitted to sending money through Ukraine. Ukraine bought a cut of his company. And then he also used some of this money to support Democrat candidates. Not that they needed that much help, because the mail-ins are what really elected these folks this last round. Well, the big thing that comes out of this this season of corruption in the markets, is that it appears to most people involved, you're not going to be punished. You're not really going to be exculpated. You're also not going to be held to account if you destroy the livelihoods of the older generation. A lot of older folks, especially, I play pickleball with a whole bunch of them. I was surprised to hear this on Saturday, but they were invested. They had invested in FTX. They'd invested in this because they saw guys like Kevin O'Leary, Tom Brady, and other brand ambassadors put their money and their reputation behind it. Many of them lost millions. Okay, this is no exaggeration. If you survive this, let's say you didn't listen to your friend who's into crypto and he told you you're going to make 10, 100x on your investment, if you survive this, you will survive what's to come because you have the brain. You have the brain to do it. You're not going to do it in crypto. And I'm not a financial expert, but I know this. You have to pick things that have lasted throughout eternity. Now, we know one thing. We know the roads of New Jerusalem are paved with gold and silver. Did you know you can back your retirement with it? If you call Gold Code today, 855-966-5722, that's 855-966-5722, you can switch over your individual retirement account to a gold and silver-backed retirement account. If you call today in a qualified account, you can get up to $25,000 of free silver. This is pretty good. Up to $10,000 of free silver for a qualified account. Gold Co. can be your safe haven during a lot of this turmoil. They didn't lose millions upon billions of dollars in investments of clients. They have done quite well as gold and silver, like they've done in the past. They weather the test of time. This is one of the big stories I wanted to share before we close out for today, going into the weekend. It's been, you've earned it, of course. You've earned this. You fought so hard this week, and it's been a tiring week. I understand this. Many were let down by the Trump speech. Many are watching as the temperature changes and also the energy in the country turns. And a lot of people are wondering. They think they need to hide in a bunker because they don't know what's going to come next. Don't be anxious, but you do need to pay attention to what the Fed's up to. This is from Reuters today. Global banking giants are starting a 12-week digital dollar pilot. This is through the Federal Reserve. Now, the participants are all of those you'd expect, the biggest banks in the world. You've got Citigroup, HSBC Holdings, MasterCard Inc., Wells Fargo, and of course, it's going to be credit cards, institutions, and everyone involved in the changing of our money. The part you have to pay attention to this is happening right on the heels of the FTX crash. Crypto crashes, central banks come in and try to offer the alternative, the solution. Maybe it's the final solution to remove you and I from the ability to do transactions. This is a big deal, okay? This pilot program is supposed to speed up transactions, supposed to speed up settlement, all the things cryptocurrency was supposed to do, okay? The things it was doing until some bad actors got in the center of it. The globalists, the World Economic Forum, Vladimir Zelensky himself. I mean, I looked at this today. I couldn't believe this, but the head of FTX, the young man who was such a philanthropist, the crook, okay, and in this case, probably the patsy, because we found that his general counsel was the mastermind. He is slated to be on a panel coming up in about a week with Mark Zuckerberg from Facebook, Janet Yellen, the Treasury Secretary, and of course, Vladimir Zelensky, the head of Ukraine. I mean, look, it's the writing's on the wall, folks. They probably are going to let this young man go. This was simply how the transactions and operations and Ponzi schemes work now. The criminals get away with it. But the part you need to make note of, a digital dollar is coming. It's not around the corner. It's not 10 years away. It is currently being deployed. It is going to be a trial. You'll hear about it. Your bank might even send you a memo. Try to opt out of this. Stay away from it. Stay in your current mechanisms of transaction because a digital dollar system, even though 97%, all of the dollars in circulation currently are digital. For you to be placed into a system that's solely controlled by all the bad actors that like to deplatform you and I, that would be suicide. Folks, don't make that decision, but do make a decision for your future. As we've noted, you can prepare by going to heavenharvest.com. And if you do still have an IRA account that hasn't been impacted by the bloodshed in the crypto markets, consider calling Goldco today. That's 855-966-5722. Gold and silver backed IRA, 10%. Top 10% you can get. This will be up to $25,000, up to $10,000, I believe, on the mark. $10,000 of free gold and silver if you call with a qualified account. Thank you so much for joining us today at Crosstalk News. On behalf of Lauren Witzke, who's absent, I'm Edward Zell, the host of Crosstalk News. God bless you and take care.
America, what you need's a little honesty.